Track 13. We visit the walled garden at Little Plumstead, an historic site that has become a delight to both locals and visitors.
Sometimes, even in this crazy, combative, confused world in which we live, one comes across an example of sanity, where a genuine community effort lifts one's spirits. A few years back, my wife and I came across one such an example, and it's been a regular source of pleasure to us ever since. I'm talking about the walled garden at Little Plumstead. The village, perhaps best known for its former hospital, has long had a walled garden, but it's had its ups and downs. The garden is in the grounds of what was Little Plumstead Hall, the seat of the Reverend Charles Penrice until his death in 1853, when it was sold. The sales particulars at the time refer to it as having an exceedingly prolific walled-in garden, well planted, and the lofty walls clothed with choice fruit trees. In the late 19th century, the original house was replaced with a new hall built in an Elizabethan style by the then owner, the Reverend Charles Johnston. But the walled garden remained, used as a kitchen garden. The property changed hands again several times, but in 1929, in an era when many such houses were proving too much of a burden to remain a family home, the then owner, a Major Astley, sold the estate to the Norfolk County Council for use as a home for the mentally handicapped, as was the terminology at that time. The walled garden continued to play an important role in the life of the house, providing not just the opportunity for rehabilitative gardening work, but also scope for relaxation for the patients. With the foundation of the NHS, the home became a hospital, and the number of patients grew rapidly to roughly 1,000. But in the late 1990s, the hospital underwent a staged closure of most of its functions, including the hall, which comprised the main site. The building remained empty and gradually became derelict. The estate farm and some of the grounds were sold for residential development, though in newer buildings some limited specialist medical functional capacity remains today. As the main hall closed, the walled garden suffered a similar fate. It was also closed, untended, and allowed to grow wild. By 2016, the original hall was still empty and in very poor condition, but plans were in hand to restore it and convert it into residential apartments. "The best laid plans gang aft agley," wrote Robert Burns, and in that year the hall suffered a catastrophic fire. Originally, arson was apparently believed by both fire service and police to have been a possibility. The press at the time reported that the police were following up a number of interesting leads, but that story appears, forgive the pun, to have fizzled out quite quickly. It is not the hall, but rather the walled garden that is the subject of this column, and what has happened there is, by contrast, a triumph for community spirit, for imaginative planning, for determination, and for the greater good. After numerous previous discussions, in April 2017, a group of local people got together to see what could be done to replace the overgrown area with something that would be an asset to the community. The development of new housing on the previous hospital grounds created an additional need for community services, and many individuals were more than willing to form a team to look into the range of possibilities. The choice of the walled garden as a site was straightforward enough. The developer had gifted that part of the estate to the parish council, which had managed to find the funds to restore the severely damaged walls. What was needed was to formalise the situation by creating a vehicle to carry the plan forward. The group established a not-for-profit company called, somewhat long-windedly, the Walled Garden Community Shop and Cafe, to plan, fund, and ultimately run whatever was the final outcome of their deliberations. As the community was growing with the new development, one obvious need was for a village shop, the previous one having closed. But why stop at a shop? There was ample space in the walled garden when cleared for a building that could offer additional community benefits. Why not, for example, have a coffee shop from which customers could admire the garden when it had been restored while enjoying social interaction with others? These ideas found great support and, in due course, agreement was reached with the parish council for them to lease the site to the new company for a peppercorn rent and serious planning could begin. The company formed a management committee to run the business, and I owe Andy Carty, its current chairman, a huge debt, well, at least a coffee, for the background information on the process that enabled me to write this piece. There were a number of steps, planning consent and fundraising among them. But eventually, in 2019, all systems were go. Simultaneously with the erection of the cafe and shop, work began as dedicated volunteers set out to clear the jungle and restore the garden. With limited funds, the new buildings were in a modular form and put up quite quickly so that the new walled garden opened in 2020, the year of the COVID lockdown, not the easiest gestation period for a new social enterprise. But the new garden proved a winner from the start and has progressively become even more successful, both as the garden itself matures and as a series of new initiatives have added to the facilities: community room, men's shed, and a beautiful Victorian-style greenhouse amongst them. When I met with Andy to do some research for this column, it was a sunny but windy and cold day. We sat with our coffee in the garden room at the end of the greenhouse. It was warm, the view over the garden was beautiful, and the coffee passed what my wife and I called the Mary test, after a friend of ours whose opinion on coffee wherever we meet is writ large in her features at first sip. She'd be happy with that served at the walled garden, and so am I. Today the walled garden is a colourful delight, with paths sneaking through it so that the visitor can appreciate the effort which has gone into it. The snacks are as good as the coffee. One especially popular one is locally baked Guinness and chocolate cake, possibly in fond memory of an early minor error when a miscast figure on the order form resulted in the shop receiving 10 times the amount of Guinness than they expected. Snacks and coffee can be enjoyed either in the cafe or outside, where there are not only tables at the edge of the garden, but also little tables for more romantic twosomes dotted around the garden. A plentiful supply of blankets are available for the chillier days. The range of activities available on site is enormous. The programme is listed on a board as you enter. There are so many options that keen eyesight is needed to discern them all, from bikes to bushcraft, from art to floristry, from singing to history. And there is a weekly dementia cafe too. If you are interested in gardens, you will love this one. If you value accessibility, you will appreciate large parking facilities. If you enjoy good, fresh, locally produced food, you will love what is available. If you just love the country, or fresh air, or good company, this is a place to put high on your visiting list. The volunteers who will serve you are without exception enthusiastic, helpful, and clearly proud of their local project. Visit soon and visit often. It's worth going regularly. Although you will know in advance what you're going to get in terms of service, you will find new attractions and developments as time goes by. When I asked Andy about future initiatives, he gave me a rather coy look of a man who has something up his sleeve about which he is quite excited. The benefits for the community of this enterprise are many-sided. Apart from the obvious advantages of a shop and an exceptionally attractive meeting place, there are huge ancillary benefits. Most of the produce sold in the cafe is locally produced, boosting local business. This boost is even greater because of the management committee's decision to allow local organisations to run courses and promotions at such an attractive and convenient location in return for just a donation, rather than charging them a fixed fee. This has encouraged a number of new organisations to offer their services. The walled garden itself benefits from the extra turnover this brings to both shop and cafe. To run the site calls for lots of volunteers to tend the garden and to serve in both shop and cafe, and volunteering in an environment like this is often a source of satisfaction to local people. Even with a large number of volunteers willing to donate their time, there is still need for a few paid staff, so local employment opportunities can arise too. Perhaps the greatest benefit of all is making a huge range of activities conveniently available to the local community. We live in an age where so many people seem to experience social deprivation, and this highly successful undertaking is a hugely beneficial step towards defeating this.